that Paul, by applying this principle to his life, he now can live by faith. By faith. Something that somebody trying to live by law could not do. And so in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am co-crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself in place of me. And so that's how Paul, as a one who was formerly a Jew, could put position into practice and dying to law, but living to God and living by faith, and the cross work being really the basis, the foundation for that. So when Paul, in verse 21, he says, I do not set aside the grace from God. He says, for as righteousness comes through law, then Christ died freely or without a cause, without a purpose. And we know that's not the case. But if Paul were to just set aside the grace from God and then try to be justified from the law, that's in a sense what he would be doing. Paul doesn't do that. Now that brings us, now let me just quickly comment before I continue with chapter 3 a little bit, but I just want to go back to the gospel concerning the Christ, the gospel for present tense. Back in 1:12, I'll pick up in 1:11, we can see though that Paul, he had already established in the epistle that his gospel for present tense salvation, it was from Jesus Christ himself. And so back in Galatians 1:11, Paul says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not measured by man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but through a revelation from Jesus Christ. And so that's how Paul received this good news for present tense living. Now, in chapter 3, it picks up, and of course Paul opens up with his pretty direct statement, oh foolish Galatians. But what Paul does in this context, and the last 2 weeks we went through this context in 3:1 through 3:5, but Paul establishes that they had received the Holy Spirit out from faith. And so they didn't receive the Holy Spirit as a response to earning something by keeping law. And so that's really important in what he's trying to establish going forward. And so you see that in 3:2. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit out from the works of law, or out from the hearing from faith, coming from faith. Well, obviously it was coming from faith that they received the Holy Spirit. Now remember, this receiving of the Holy Spirit is something completely unique to this dispensation. And so that's going to be important for what Paul is going to be doing going forward. And so the Christian has received the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit, though, out from faith. Now, in verse 3, he says, are you so foolish? And we talked about this word foolish. It's the same word you have in 3:1. The idea behind this word foolish is the idea of mindless, or just one who's unwilling to use their mental faculties in order to understand. He says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? And so we begin our Christian lives by the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He says, are you now made mature by the flesh? Well, that's, in a sense, that's what they were doing. That's what the false teachers, or these troublemakers, we'll use that phrase for these guys, were suggesting that you almost ignoring receiving the Holy Spirit and going on and trying to mature by the flesh. And we took you back to Hebrews 7:19. There's other places we could go to show that. But the law didn't mature anything. The law didn't mature anything. And so in this next context that we're looking at here, Paul's going to go on and he establishes that justification is out from faith. And so the section we're looking at today, 3:6-9, that justification itself is out from faith. It's not out from keeping law. So he's going to demonstrate that. He's going to use Abraham as an illustration here. I think the troublemakers probably used Abraham as kind of a place to look up to encourage these believers to be circumcised and to keep the law. And so Paul's going to basically meet them where they're at, and he's going to show the problem with that type of thinking. And so that's why I emphasize the receiving of the Holy Spirit is something unique in this dispensation. Now, it is interesting, in our verses we're looking at today, 3:6-9, he's basically establishing that justification is out from faith. Then in 3:10, he's going to pick up and he's going to demonstrate that the Jew has been delivered from the curse of the law. And so, Lord willing, that's where we'll be next week. So if the Jew's been delivered from the curse of the law, well, we don't even have to talk about the Gentile. And that's how Paul lays this out. And so what he's looking at and what he's building towards is, why would someone walk by means of the flesh and try to keep law when they can potentially walk by the Spirit and live by faith? That's kind of a summary of what he's demonstrating as he goes through this epistle. And so let's open with a word of prayer and we'll see if I can get through four verses in a decent amount of time. So, Father, we're grateful for the day. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together, to be in your Word. We're grateful for our basement today. We can be a little more comfortable as we look into your Word, and we pray your Spirit would just use this time to illumine our minds to your truths and to bless us, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we move on here, Paul is demonstrating that God, his dealing with the Galatian is based entirely on faith. And so we have this illustration of justification out from faith. And so here in 3:6, we see Abraham's faith results in imputed righteousness. And so in 3:6, he says, just as, or even as, you can translate it that way, or just as Abraham believed the God. And so the idea of he directed faith. He took God at his word. And so he believed what God said to him. And it was reckoned to him. And our word reckoned is just a word. I see the New King James translates it accounted. It was just accounted or imputed. It's our word legizomai in the Greek. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so Abraham had faith in God. He believed what God said to him, promising him a seed that would be like the stars of heaven. And so this takes us back to Genesis. And so let's go back to Genesis, and I'm going to try not to flip our pulpit here. My Bible is going to put this right out of its capacity. But let's turn to Genesis 15, if we could. Now, Abram back here, or Abraham, he already believed in the existence of Jehovah. But we see in Genesis 15, we'll find this is where Abraham was saved in the sense that this is where he directed faith. He took God at his word, and God imputed that faith as righteousness. And so it's in Genesis 15. And let me just pick up in 15:1. 15:6 is the verse we really want. We're just going to go ahead and read up to it. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord was unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my own house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And Jehovah said unto him, so shall your seed be. And we see, and he, Abraham, believed Jehovah. And he counted it to him, Jehovah counted it to him, Abram, to him for righteousness. And so we can see here that Abram at this point in time, believed what God had said concerning this promise that his seeds would be like the stars of heaven. And so Abraham took him at his word, and it was imputed to him then for righteousness. And so faith as righteousness. And so let's go back to the book of Romans in chapter 4. And we had a message here from Pastor Dave recently in Romans chapter 4. But I just want to read through this to kind of tie this into our context. And so let me pick up in Romans 4:3. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And so Romans 4:3, that takes us right back to Genesis 15:6. Now to him that works is the reward not imputed, measured by grace, but rather measured by debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is imputed for righteousness. And then I'll just go ahead and continue on. Even as David also describes the happiness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, saying, happy are they whose lawlessnesses are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Is this happiness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then imputed? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And so that's going to be important to the point that Paul's making over in our epistle to the Galatians. You don't have circumcision come in until Genesis 17. And so remember, the Galatians, the troublemakers with the Galatians, They wanted the Galatians to be circumcised, kind of as a seal, as a sign, as a seal, and then to practice the Mosaic law. And so over here we see, though, that Abraham was imputed righteous before circumcision became part of what he was to do. And so in 4:11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness from the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. And so here we see the circumcision. It was a sign, though, of the circumcision and a seal of the righteousness from the faith. So it's interesting when you, I'm going to just pause here, because when you think about that, in our epistle to the Galatians, he's talking about they received the Holy Spirit, right? Let me just take you over to Ephesians 1:13. Just to contrast. And so in Ephesians 1:13, the "in whom" is talking about in Christ, in our position in Christ, the Christian's position in Christ, "in whom also you hope that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, when that you believed," or after that you believed, "you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And so, interesting when you think about that in contrast to Abraham. Sealed, we've been sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit. Now Abraham, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness from the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of them that believe. All of them that direct faith. And so, in a sense, we can say Father Abraham in a sense that, he was the father, through faith. And so we're gonna come on to that here in a minute. And it says, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed, to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. He says, for the promise that he should be the heir, not of the world, but a world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through a righteousness that comes from faith. For if they which are out from the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. On account of this, it is out from faith that it might be by grace, just measured by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is out from law, but to that also which is out from faith of Abraham. And so let's go back and see our Galatians, because we can pick up. And so 3:6, the other problem with this pulpit is it vibrates. And so my eyes already are giving me trouble, but when this thing's moving.
You're living in a chance of running.
But just as Abraham believed God, and so he simply believes, and it was imputed, it was reckoned, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now he, in Galatians 3:7, we have a, the King James, I think, or the New King James says, therefore. And it's not un, it's, aura here. It has the idea of then or so then or therefore. He says, you Galatians, be experientially knowing. And it's our word, let's see, the New King James says, therefore know. And it is experientially know. He says that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And so the New King James changes that, and I appreciate that, because the King James says children. But it is the word for sons, and there is an important distinction in those two words and what they mean and what they're emphasizing. And so here he's just saying, so then, you Galatians, be experientially knowing that those, the ones, verbless clause, who are or who are being out from faith as to source, he says, are sons of Abraham. And so just literally, these are the sons of Abraham. Now, the sons has the idea of being mature sons. And so these are the mature sons of Abraham. Now, I believe this comment, the way it's fit in here in this epistle, it seems to indicate to me that the troublemakers were saying, if you wanted to be a son of Abraham, so you could be one of Abraham's, but if you wanted to be a son in a position of privilege and one who's past the infantile state, the young learner state, to be a son, you had to keep the law. And so Paul, with this statement, he just corrects that with a simple, when he wants the Galatians to be experientially knowing this, that all the ones who are being out from faith, these are the sons of Abraham. These are the mature sons of Abraham. And so here what he's saying, it was Abraham, it was out from faith that Abraham potentially became the father of both Jew and Gentile. And remember what we just read back in Romans 4:16. Let me just go ahead and grab that again so we can bring that to the forefront. Therefore, it is out from faith that it might be measured by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is out from the law only, but to that also which is out from faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so here what he's saying is those that are being out from faith as the source, these are the sons of Abraham. These are the ones who are demonstrating that they're mature sons of the father of us, of Abraham, as far as being the one who directed faith, believed God, took him at his word, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so remember now, these troublemakers in Galatia, they're teaching law, they're teaching circumcision. And so you can see that, let's just go back to Galatians 2:3 for a reminder. Now this is a number of years earlier where circumcision was an issue when Paul went up to Jerusalem. In 2:3, we see, but neither Titus, who was with me, and this would connect back to Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. He says, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And let's read Galatians 5:2 and 5:3. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. And so here you see circumcision being tied into the law. And basically what the troublemakers were teaching is if you wanted to be a son of Abraham, you need to almost be a proselyte. You need to live as a Jew, be circumcised, and and keep the Mosaic law. And so Paul refutes that. He just lays this out using scripture, and he's using Abraham as an illustration here, that it was out from faith that Abraham was justified. And so as we move on to Galatians 3:8, Paul then is going to talk about the justification of the Gentiles was something that was foretold Abraham. So he uses scripture. Scripture is the record, and Paul uses scripture to prove his points here. And he says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And let's see, the New King James says, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Now, preach the gospel and then the word beforehand are all come from one Greek word. And so it's not really preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand. It's a verb. It's an aorist middle indicative. Just literally, he good news beforehand. He pronounced the good news beforehand to Abraham. And so the problem that I don't like preach the gospel, especially with the articular of the gospel, is there's a lot of people in Christendom that try and make one gospel for all of scripture, or they make all of scripture the gospel. But this is just literally saying that, that God, he pronounced the good news beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you, or we could translate it by you, all nations shall be blessed. Talking about Abraham, by Abraham all nations shall be blessed. And the word blessed here is the idea of well spoken of. And so in the future, will be well spoken of. And so I'm going to connect this back, if we can go back to Genesis. And in Genesis 22 and verse 18, of course, this connects us back to the fourth Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that relates to Christians. And Paul's going to develop this as we move forward in chapter 3. But in in verse 22, so let's just go ahead and in verse 17, it says that in blessing, I will bless you. And this is Jehovah speaking to Abraham. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Now, he's talking here, the singular seed. He's talking about Christ as the singular seed. Paul's going to make that very clear a little later in Galatians 3. And the sand which is upon the seashore and thy seed, singular seed, speaking of Christ, shall possess the gate of his, Christ, singular, enemies. And by your seed shall all of the nations of earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so I think this is what Paul has in mind when he looks at the record in scripture. Scripture just foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith. He pronounced the good news beforehand to Abraham, saying, by you all the nations shall be blessed, be well spoken of. And now when we go back to Galatians, we'll be here down the road, but I just want to tie this into Galatians 3:14, because this connects back to Genesis 22:18 as well. That the blessing of Abraham, just the well-spokenness of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise concerning the Spirit through faith. And so here we, again, that he's going to connect the idea of that we might receive the promise concerning the Spirit through faith. Something different in time, unique to this dispensation. And So let's go ahead and we'll try and wrap up this last verse. We move to Galatians 3:9. We see the result of being blessed here, being well spoken of. It says, so then. So you have this consecutive conjunction in the Greek, and it's expressing a consequence or result coming from the previous context. And so the New King James just reads, so then, and that's a good translation. So then, those, just literally the ones out from as to source, faith. Now here in the context, he's talking about Christians, these Galatians. So then, the ones out from faith as to source, and so it's an ek preposition, that's why I translate that way. Your English translations are just going to say of faith. Are blessed. And here our word blessed is well spoken of. So those that are out from faith as the source, and talking about Christians here in our context, are blessed, are well spoken of with believing Abraham. And the with is a soon preposition. And so here, he's just saying those that are out from faith as the source, that are well spoken of intimately together with. And we have this adjective that's a lot of times can be translated faithful. It's our adjective for faith. And so it can be translated faithful or believing. And I prefer to translate it believing here. Are well spoken with, are well spoken of intimately together with believing Abraham. Abraham simply took God at his word, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so I think that's what Paul is emphasizing here. And so Abraham was a believer at a different time with a different object of faith and with a different result from that faith. But he was similar in the fact that the Galatians were believers also, and Christians are also imputed as righteous based on our faith. And so I think that's what he's emphasizing here. Now, Paul's going to go on, and he's going to kind of continue to lay out this explanation, as in 3:10 through 14, he's going to explain that the Jew is delivered from the law in Christ Jesus. Now, in 3:11, we're going to see that the righteous should live out from faith. And so you can see how he's going to take this forward to show that the potential error of trying to mix law with grace, to try and live by the flesh rather than by the spirit. In Galatians 3:11, it says, but that no man is declared righteous by law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live out from faith as the source. Now, that's something that's unique. The potential of a Christian as we're spirit-filled. And so you can see why Paul is eventually going to get to the topics of walking by the flesh, walking by the spirit, the fruit from the spirit later on in this epistle. And so he says, the just shall live out from faith as the source in 3:11. Now in verse 12, he tells us, and the law is not out from faith. And so it's not out from faith. And so just like you can't mix grace and law, you can't be living by law and living by faith. And so the law is not out from faith. And he goes on, but the man that is doing them, he shall live by them. Remember what we said in Galatians 2:20, or what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. At the last part of that verse, he says, I now live in flesh, He says, "In the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith concerning the Son of God who loved me and gave himself on behalf of me." So Paul lives by faith. He's not living by law. And so, of course, this all ties back to what Paul said in 3:2. When he says, "This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit out from works of law or out from the hearing from faith?" Well, it was out from faith. Now he's going to go on and he's going to list the aspects of the fruit from the Spirit, one of which is faith. In Galatians, was it 5:23? It's actually 5:22 where we have faith. "But the fruit from the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law." In 5:18 he says, "If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law." You're not under any quality of law. And so you can see what Paul's doing is he wants these believers to recognize the value of the cross work for present tense salvation. He doesn't want believers to set aside the grace from God. We didn't receive the Holy Spirit out from any works of law. It's all by grace. It was all as a result of directing faith. In Christ, we've been imputed declared righteous. And so Paul is going to go through and he's going to correct the potential error that these troublemakers would cause by trying to mix law and grace. He wants these believers to continue on as they started by using the ministries of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to make up where they lack, and to, like Paul did, he died to law that he might live unto God. And so that's where we'll end today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up and we'll look at the deliverance of the Jew from law in Christ Jesus. Let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us, and as you both provide opportunities for us to be in your word and together, we're grateful for that blessing. We're grateful that you accomplish good things through your children and for your children. We would ask that you would continue to bless us as we leave. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.